to another episode of Small School Big Tech. This is Danny Silva. I teach ag on Twitter.
And this is Andrew Schwab, another Schwab on Twitter.
And we're back. Both back.
In studio.
Yes, and well.
Live and in person.
If you call it this a studio.
Hey, it's two desks with microphones on booms.
I guess, we were just talking about doing a...
There goes the bell. See? The circle is complete.
Doing a video shot of us. Not that you want to look at our ugly mugs, but you can see our guests that way, because we got a brand new 32-inch monitor to use to Skype with.
Yeah, when are you putting that up?
As soon as you get the mounts.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. So back to the grind. Last couple days.
That's right. You're back. You've been back from Australia now a week. How's the jet
lag? Yeah, I've been up till 3 o'clock the last three nights. One, because I've been working on stuff, but also two, because I can't fall asleep. So I've been up at 6:30 the last 3 days. So I've been getting about three and a half hours sleep. I'll probably crash this weekend.
Isn't that normal for you?
I'm usually a 5 hour person, so I'm losing an hour and a half. So what do we get done today?
I don't know. Wait, what's today? Well, we got a 32 iMac Lab imaged, apparently the hard way, and up and running. So,
well, you knew it was the hard way.
Well, we did it old school. Old school target disk mode. Come on, there's nothing better than
that. We had three MacBooks with a carbon copy cloner.
That's right.
And the image, the DMG image, right?
Yeah, you're learning.
And we target disk mode, and we did 32 computers. So we had to do that, or 33 computers. So
33.
We did 11 sessions of that.
Actually, you did more than me because I had a conference call.
Yeah,
I had to step out.
You did the first two, and then you did the last three or four.
That's right. So yeah, I showed you how to do it, and then I came back to make sure you did it right.
Yeah. So then Mr. Crippo, you know, we have to mention his name at least once in every podcast, I think.
It wouldn't be Small School Big Tech without mentioning John Crippo.
He sent you a link for something, right?
He did. I want to go look that up right now.
And we'll put it in the show notes. And what is it supposed to do?
I have no idea, but apparently it has something to do with imaging Macs. See, back in the old days, which would have been like 8 years ago, when I was working for a district that had all Macs, there was a really cool netboot process, and you can netboot and remote image. And it worked fairly well. There was some Apple scripting stuff that had to be done once they were imaged. But I would like us to get to that point. Honestly, I just didn't have time to go and figure out how to do that and get it all set up time.
We've had the Macs for, 2 weeks?
I want to say 2 weeks.
And I've been gone for a week and a half.
Yep. Thanks for all the help.
And you got a former student to come in and set up the...
Yeah, so limited window of opportunity. Because I got a former student to come in for a couple days to help. So he did all the unboxing and setting everything up and plugging everything in. And then I got the image built. Danny came back, and so we just busted out the image process. And for now, that's fine because we're done. But we only have 4 or 5 weeks of school left. It should be fine for that period of time. Over summer, I will set up a server and get all the... you know, the process worked out so that it's actually a real image process, and we can blast it out over the network. But for now, we just converted our Windows XP circa 2001 Dell laptop or Dell Lab into a 2011 iMac Multimedia Lab.
We'll be moving to CS5 over the summer, right?
We will. Right now, we just upgraded from CS2 to CS3. So, yeah, it was good. I mean, it looks much cleaner now.
Oh, and I put a picture in the show notes so you can see our fancy. It looks very pretty.
Pictures.
Yeah.
We got multimedia going on.
Yeah. I said that's the first one today, I think. We've been getting better.
No, we haven't. If you listen to the last episode...
It's subconsciously getting better. People don't hear it as much.
Last episode was horrible, which I haven't actually... I haven't posted the last episode yet, but I will.
That was the Australia one, correct?
That was the one where you were in Australia and I was here, and we got some wicked static, but...
Well, and it wasn't the That wasn't from the length or distance apart. I think that was from my cheapy Plantronics headset that I had. Not a lot of room. When you're trying to get to Australia, you're trying to pack as light as possible, and I didn't feel like taking a Yeti with me.
Yeah, sure.
So we'll put the link from John up, and we have a picture of our new Mac Lab, so you can check it out. So some Google stuff come out recently.
Of course.
Of course.
How did I know you're gonna lead with Google stuff?
I didn't lead with Google stuff. I led with Apple stuff.
That was the intro stuff.
So
this is the Google stuff. Okay, what do you got? I'm really excited about this one.
Yes.
So go ahead. I'll let you talk about it.
No, you go ahead since you're excited about it.
I'm not a GCT. I don't have the certification. I'm not qualified to
hear Andrew say that again. He is excited about a Google thing.
I'm really excited about this. And in fact, this is a long time overdue, and they should have had it a long time ago.
And that is uploading a folder to Google Docs. Instead of file by file to a folder, you can upload a folder right up into Google Docs. So very cool. We've been looking forward to this, especially with our Mac integration for our staff. We got MacBook Pros, if you've been following us, for all of our teachers. And this is going to help us migrate them to the cloud, correct?
Yeah, I mean, one of the issues I've been looking at is right now all of our staff have network folders with all of their documents in them, of course, even though we've been on Google Apps for a while. And the ability to actually just select the folder and upload it to Google Docs is going to make it a lot easier for them to move all their stuff up there. We are kind of moving away from this idea of local network storage and trying to get everything out into the cloud. Part of the reason for that is we want their files to be accessible no matter where they are, if they're on campus or at home, and rather than have to provide something like VPN or something like that. I mean, Google Docs has this all built in. The challenge up to this point has been getting them to get their existing files into Google Apps. So folder upload is just going to make that process a lot easier.
Well, and this is Google has been every few months they've increased the amount of updates to Google Apps significantly. I remember, you know, a few months ago it was, you know, just a few updates every once in a while. Now it seems like there's a new update all the time. It's just getting better and better, and I'm hoping that it's going to get where it's at. A complete no-brainer for a lot of people, but we've switched and we're happy. We'll see if it as they update. It just makes it even better for us, and it makes our teachers happier that we switched. So another new update is uploading an image to a spreadsheet.
Yeah. Who cares?
Yeah, you said why, but I can see purpose. You know, you gotta have that nice picture to go with your chart, right?
The chart is the nice picture.
Well, no.
The whole point?
To reference back to what...
Can I make the background of the chart a picture?
Ooh. No, that would be too busy.
Well, who cares? I just want a pretty picture.
Yeah. So,
I'm trying to think if I've ever even wanted a picture in a spreadsheet. Probably not. Spreadsheets are for numbers.
Yeah, I know. It's one of those new... extras, though. I'm sure somebody was begging for it, and they just decided.
Well, you know what I'm begging for? An update to presentation. When's that coming out?
That's got to come out sometime. Everything else has been updated except for presentation. So
it's kind of hard to sell Google. In fact, I'm using it with my CTO mentor group.
When the presentation is horrible,
and it's glaringly not sufficient or insufficient.
Well, I have to look this up while we're talking, but I mentioned this to you yesterday.
You can talk and look up stuff at the same time?
I can possibly do that. Slide Rocket, I received an email, subscription email from Slide Rocket, saying that they were purchased out. And I was hoping that it was said by Google.
You hope Google bought it.
Because if you've used Slide Rocket, it's a pretty robust web-based presentation program.
They build themselves as PowerPoint presentation online.
Well, I've heard people say it's more like Keynote online. They have a lot of tools, but...
Oh, look, VMware acquires Slide Rocket.
Yes.
Find out more. What's up with that?
Well, and I mentioned this to you, and you gave me a weird look, like, are you sure? Are you smoking crack? But yes, VMware has purchased Slide Rocket. VMware made a surprising addition this week when it purchased online presentation vendor SlideRocket. VMware, known mostly for its virtual machine technology, has decided to move into end-user cloud services as well, and this is a step towards that. So that was coming from an article. I'll post that link for
so
this.
So VMware is getting into the cloud application space. That's really interesting. Actually, I have not used SlideRocket. This looks cool. I think maybe I should sign up. Do they have an education account?
Okay. They have a free version. They have a free version.
Well, now it looks like a free trial.
SlideRocket is also tied to Google Apps for Ed.
So you can turn it on?
You can turn it on, but it is paid. You get a 30-day trial.
Why does everything cost money?
Well, that's one of the problems.
I'm beginning.
Now, see, I wonder if this was like one of those things that, like, hey, we want to buy you out, or if SlideRocket was actually going out looking for people.
I don't know.
Because, I mean, if Google missed the boat on this one.
I'm not privy to that. Well, maybe Google thinks whatever presentation update they're going to do is better.
Well, maybe. But, I mean, they everything they started with was from a company they purchased, Writely, and I can't think of the spreadsheet one. But
yeah, but aren't they, I believe, with the new direction of the leadership team is to start building stuff in-house again and being creative.
The warehouse, the garage model, right?
Something like that.
Yeah, something like that.
I wouldn't know because my garage is so full of crap that I can't do anything in it.
And see, I've moved my garage into my office. But as you say, it's crap because I can't do anything because my internet sucks.
I know you built... I don't understand. You got to explain this to me. You spent money on building an office in your garage with like studio-grade equipment and a whole bunch of computers, and you got satellite internet and you can't do anything.
Well, I'm hoping that'll change eventually. But see, what's nice is the only real expense I've put in so far is I insulated the garage.
Yeah.
Which, the walls were insulated. All I did was insulate the garage door. That was a couple $100. It's a worthwhile expense even if I didn't put my office.
I'm thinking about doing that, actually.
Because it deadened the sound in the garage. It made the garage door almost virtually quiet going up and down.
And how much you want to come out to do that to my garage?
It actually wasn't that bad.
I'll pay you, man. What's your rate? Come on. Yeah. I don't want to do it.
Yeah, friends and family, $65. No.
Deal. Done, man.
An hour.
I'll feed you for that, too.
An hour.
Dinner?
Yeah.
Thai food. I'll have my mother-in-law cook you dinner.
Hey, I might just come over for that. It really didn't take me that long. I put in some batting. I put in some rubber insulation strips. It probably took me, if I put it all hours-wise, probably 6 hours. But that was worth it. The little bit expensive part is I'm going to put some blown-in insulation in the roof and ceiling. That's going to be a half a day worth of work. But that's
going to attic access, or you have
I do have attic access, so I have set up ready. That's the hard part is I have a bunch of crap up there right now. I got to pull down. That's the hardest part.
See, my issue in my garage.
As your
I think
story.
I just want to. I want to insulate the door just because I can stand next to the door and it's hot. Right.
That's why I wanted to do it.
So I want to do that.
Well, if you keep your car in there, or if you have a fridge in there, just insulating that is going to help you out with energy savings.
But
so
our outside wall of the garage, because two walls are inside walls, and then the garage door, and then we have an outside wall, that's not insulated.
See, mine was.
Yeah, so if I was going to do it, I'd probably have to do blow-in insulation in there.
That would be interesting.
We also have, how is yours vented? Because we have two vents in the wall.
I don't have any vents in my garage. My garage was finished and set up like, could be a room.
But there's no vent at all for like the,
that's in the
hot
attic.
Water heater and all that stuff?
Oh, no. Well, that's built in. It goes out to the.
No, I know, but by, anyway, I thought by code, maybe it's just in Merced that you have to have some kind of vent. Like to the outside in your
my hot water vents into my garage.
No, yeah, that too. But like,
as far as heat
like
exchange, but
air.
No, that there's only the. Are you electric?
No, gas.
I don't know. Mine isn't done that way. But anyhow,
because I got two holes in my wall basically that allow airflow.
I'm actually I'm looking at the expensive part now, and that we've been talking about that is I'm going to put in a. Air conditioning unit, because
It's not like it gets hot in the summer.
Oh yeah, not at all. 100 degrees, and by the time the garage heats up, even with the insulation, it's going to be like 120 in there.
So we're in the Central Valley where it gets warm.
Nice Mediterranean, warm Mediterranean climate. Yeah. So we kind of hard to run a computer during the day.
Well, just the computer in there is going to add.
Well, that's what during the winter time, even 35, 40 degrees outside, my garage was comfortable with the, you know, with the sweatshirt on if I wanted to go in there, because the computers, I had two computers running and four monitors, and kind of was its own little heater.
Yeah, people don't realize how much heat the monitors throw off. Because, like, my two 24-inch monitors, the Ultra Sharps,
yeah,
they throw off some serious heat.
Just imagine if they were 24-inch CRTs.
Oh, yeah. Well, not only would you be radiating your eyes, but you'd also...
Yeah. So, anyhow, the nice thing is, besides the air conditioner, everything is built. So, if I have moved to a place where I can get better internet, I can just pick up the whole thing and move it to another office space. So...
Oh, that's cool.
So, the insulation was worthwhile. The air conditioning is going to be the
air conditioning. But the other part that I like, and I'm probably going to do in my garage, is the mats that you used. And we also just got some for the studio.
So they're from Amazon, real cheap, 2-foot by 2-foot square anti-fatigue mats, but they're a full half inch thick instead of the 3/8. And they come in for my office space. I got multicolored because half of my office is my kids' playroom. But we got blue for the studio, and it almost matches our blue background. So we almost have a full blue screen area.
It's kind of the poor man's blue screen.
Yeah, the poor man's. But hey, it works.
No, so. It works, and I think it did cut the sound down. And we're going to be using some moving blankets to further cut the sound.
But we've also noticed that when we did our videos for MCOE at MeTV, they used moving blankets.
Yeah, which is where we got the idea from.
So that's where we're going to be doing the same thing.
We're going to hang them like curtains.
So how much have you used your Nook color that's been rooted?
How much?
Yeah.
Well, I use my iPad every day. I use the Nook color... I got it just to try it and see if, you know, it was an experiment. It's really good for playing words with friends. my wife used it the other day when she wanted to look something up because it was on the couch.
So it's kind of like the iPad in a way for you, then.
Well, you got to understand, I have an iPad, an iPod Touch.
You're getting an iPad 2.
I just ordered an iPad 2. The Chrome CR48 sitting on the dining room table. There's two laptops stacked up in the living room. I got my computer upstairs, which is always on. And I always have a computer from work.
So the Nook color.
There's computers everywhere.
So you don't get to give the Nook color its full testing.
Well, okay.
And who did we get this, or who did you get this idea from?
For
rooting your Nook color.
Oh, Jim Klein. Got to bring up Jim Klein.
Jim Klein.
Are you going off of the show notes or something? What are we talking about?
Yeah, we're going to... I'm segueing, dude.
Oh, okay.
So...
Oh, yes, we're going to talk about this. Well, now that I know that this thing is out, which you're going to talk about... Now that I know that this thing is out, I will go home right after this podcast, and I will use my Nook color to try this out.
Well, first thing I was going to mention was I sent a tweet out to you because there was there was an update that the Nook Color update to 1.2 firmware makes it available so you can go to the App Store, bring in some apps and things like that.
I quickly sent back a tweet that said, yeah, I can already do that. What are you talking about?
Yes. And so then we were looking at the show notes, and this just came out, Google Docs app for the Android. And got to check it out, Sydney pre-release. Which was kind of nice for GTA.
Yeah, wait.
We got to see it 2 days before anybody else. Oh, well. It was kind of cool.
Look, so I'm tired of hearing all this stuff that you get to do because you're a GCT. Can you just knock it off already?
There's a lot of us out there. That's okay.
What, like 500 now? How many?
650, actually.
650.
It's actually, there's a lot of cool features, a lot of nice, because it's Android, they can do a lot of good things. No, as far as I know, there's no hope for an iPhone version, boohoo, at least at any time at this point.
This is one place where the iPad kind of falls down for Google Apps school, the, you know, Google Apps on the iPad is not great.
No, and it's line by line. It's kind of real clunky.
You know, I just listed all the equipment I have at home. I really would love to play with something like a Zoom or, you know, the Amazon tablet is rumored to be coming out, the Transformer. Another Android tablet is out and available. All the toys that I have, well, most of the toys that I have not been purchased by me. They've been purchased by either one way or another someone else. So, but I think if I am going to go spend my own money, I'm waiting for an Android tablet that's going to make me want to do it.
Well, that's really what I'm looking for. The Zoom is sounding like it's pretty cool, but I don't know.
Yeah, price point though. I mean, $600 at Costco. $600 for Wi-Fi only.
$589 for Wi-Fi only, and that's through Costco. And the 3G model for the lowest 3G model with the subsidized is $589. So check out the Google Docs for Android. Google Docs app for Android if you get a chance. If you have an Android,
I think he meant to say Google.
What'd I say?
Yeah.
Blah, 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 blah.
Google Docs
app for Android. Say that five times fast. Don't do
five
it.
Five times fast? No. Five, no.
So,
next.
So you're going to put that on your end?
Yeah, as soon as I get home, I will.
And then next show, let us know how it works. I only got to play with it for like 30 seconds, so really.
I'm really surprised you do not have an Android device. This surprises me.
I like my iPhone.
That's true. And I think the transition from iPhone to iPad is seamless.
Yes.
More or less.
And with my iPhone 4, I have an iPad 1, version 1, V1.
Right. Soon to be receiving an iPad version 2.
Hopefully, yes, in the next few weeks. But I don't use it. Because...
You're always on your iPhone.
I'm on my iPhone. I don't need it. The only time I grab the iPad is when I need an app that's iPad only.
Now, see, the one thing I use my iPad for, you can't, because I use it to watch YouTube like crazy.
Yes, right? I can't do that.
You don't have that option. But for YouTube video watching, it's awesome, because you just hit the little YouTube button. I go to my subscriptions, and I'm there. I got all my shows right there. I just watch
them. What it gets used for me mostly is my little girl loves to watch videos on it. Even though I said, do you want to watch it on the big TV or the iPad? She said, I want the iPad. So,
well, that's hers personally. She can hold it right there.
Well, and she knows how to go to the shared movie folder that's from the Mac, iTunes.
Oh, and, are you sharing that? So you got your videos.
Yeah, so I don't have to store all my videos on the iPad. I have all of her Disney movies, and she just flips through and she finds the movie she wants to watch.
And, well, that's cool.
And usually... she's picking educational videos, like the Leapfrog videos or whatever. So,
man, I am cool not stuff. That together. I don't have any videos available for my kid, but that's a perfect – I didn't even think about that.
So she just scans through. She has the whole library.
That's just using iTunes Bonjour, right? You just shared out the iTunes?
It's the home folder, and that was with the newest update. It wasn't 4.3.
When you say home folder, you mean built in the OS X or
– No.
Built in the iTunes.
iTunes – share.
Should work with Windows.
Home sharing.
Should work in Windows?
Yeah. As long as you're sharing out the home folder.
Because my Drobo machine, I could turn it on that one and share out all her... but they got to be H.264.
.mov, whatever. Right. Yes. Now...
I guess I got to start transcoding.
If you're using AirTunes, you could do the same thing, but I'm sure you know what the video folder looks like on...
Yeah, I do.
It's... very cool because I go the extra mile.
Of course, I got to make sure she only gets into her folder so she's not going to like Battlestar Galactica by mistake.
Well, and I pull all the I go fancy and I go and look for all the posters and I put all the posters for all the videos so they're all she can quickly see them by image. You got to remember she's only 2.5.
Daddy likes R-rated movies, so that would be. I'm sure if she's watching, like if she accidentally starts like Terminator, my wife would freak out.
Well, I don't have a lot of the only movies I put on there is like Star Wars. If she accidentally starts watching Star Wars, no big deal.
It would be chaos in my house.
She would probably not watch her for very long because she's not interested. She likes the cartoons.
No, my kid is
There's only one live-action movie that she watches, and that's Enchanted, which is another fairy tale movie.
Oh, what did we just watch? And she, my daughter was like scared out, like crazy scared. What was that movie? I don't remember now. It was live action. She usually watches like Cinderella, you know, the Disney ones and all that stuff. But we were watching, I forget. I totally forget. It must not have been that good. But she was like scared halfway, all the way through it.
And it wasn't that scary?
Oh, it was Narnia, the third Narnia.
Oh, and she was scared?
Yeah. You know, I mean, there's like sword fighting and stuff.
Oh, I could see that. Okay.
I want to show her Star Wars, but my wife is like...
No way.
Nope.
I'm still debating on when I should do it or not. You know, that's the big
I was
question.
Four.
So...
But you know what's sad now? All the kids, they think Star Wars are those first three crappy movies. With, you know...
Well, because, yeah, they don't prequels. Go back and watch. Yeah, we had... We actually talked about this quite a bit when the group of people I was with the last couple weeks.
Mm.
But, okay, so moving back to Google.
Yeah, whatever.
Because I do a lot of calendar presentations, so I have to throw this one
You're
out
being
there.
Modest. You're Mr. Calendar. You're the calendar man.
I have been called
You are
that,
the Google calendar man.
That. So,
anybody who can make calendar as sexy as you can, you're the calendar man.
So Andrew's referencing my... title of my presentation I did for GTA, How Sexy Is Your Calendar? So, but 5 years of Google Calendar, and they released a new favicon. So if you don't know what a favicon is, it's the little icon that goes up on the top of the internet browser in your tab. And the new favicon for Google Calendar will actually show you the date of the actual date of that we're on.
Oh, yeah, I saw it. Do you have to do anything, or is this
no,
just happening?
No, it just turns on
That's
automatically.
Cool. I like that.
So now you can actually have Calendar open in the background and still see what date it is very quickly.
Yes, Bravo Calendar.
Yes, so Bravo. Cool stuff. So I had to throw that out there.
No, it's cool. It's very sexy.
Oh, yeah, sexy.
It's a nice icon. So, well, you know, honestly, that's the only reason I still leave the Calendar app in the dock on the Mac.
It's kind of silly. See the date.
So I can see the date.
There you go.
I just found out that you can actually turn the day on in the time.
Again, you call me a newbie sometimes.
Hey, man, I'm you know what? OS X is so good out of the box, you don't have to change very much, right? So there's no reason to go dig it.
That's the first thing I do is go look for all the little things I can tweak.
Hmm.
All right, well, I've ran out of my show notes.
Well, let's talk. Come on, we got other stuff to talk about. What do you want to talk about?
We can't have
a 30-minute episode.
We do 30-minute episodes a lot lately.
We're getting shorter and shorter. You remember when we first started? We had like hour and 45-minute episodes.
Yeah, and the people that actually commented actually complained about our 45-hour
minute episodes. I do not do this podcast for those people. I do it for me. All right?
Yeah. That's maybe why we only have, you know, limited amount of users or followers.
Well, it also could be that we know nothing about marketing and our goal was never to get listeners.
We don't go there.
Podcast, dude. Podcast. I'm not the one who's always looking at my stats. Oh, I wonder who might that be.
I like to see why they come to my site, not how many.
Okay.
I like to see what brings them.
You keep telling yourself that.
And 90% of the time, it's calendar.
Well, that's because you're Mr. Calendar. You're the calendar
guy. Well, it also might have something to do with most of my, probably 80% of my posts are about calendar. So that would explain them.
How do you... Because you actually post, you've been blog posting quite frequently, right? You had an objective to blog post.
I was, but I stopped. I haven't done it for a month and a half now. So I was doing almost once a week, approximately, for the first probably, I did almost 4 or 5 weeks in a row, and then I slacked
Did your
off.
Traffic go up?
Huge, when I started doing that. And I don't know if it was the beginning of the school, when the new year hit, I made a commitment to podcast, or not podcast, but blog more.
Mm-hmm.
I started blogging a lot more. I wrote quite a few blogs and a little bit more shorter blogs instead of my epic blogs. And my numbers skyrocketed. And because I look at my numbers, I know my numbers. I did 5,000, just over 5,000 hits last year,
mm-hmm.
which for some people that's a lot. For some people that's nothing. And this year alone, within, what's this, the fourth month, is almost over. I'm at about 5,000 already.
Yes, April would be the fourth
month. So I went from averaging like 15, 16 hits a day to like 35, 40 hits a day.
That's pretty good.
So I don't know if it's something they changed in the algorithm or if it's because I started posting more.
I know what it is.
What's that?
You're a Google certified teacher.
Oh, maybe it's because of small school, big tech, you know.
Oh, no, I wasn't going to say that. Because we know based on small school, big tech numbers, it's not that. I'm just curious because every time I try to sit down, and I have a lot of blog ideas going through my head. Maybe when I get done with all these classes and all this stuff, I'll actually have time to do it. But I'm thinking not. I'm thinking I probably just need to carve out some time every day to write.
Well, and that's my problem is I get stuck busy doing other things and I don't get enough time to write. What I'd love to do is be able to, if I get a chance to do what I'd like to do, and that's more training for our staff, is every time I get ready to either do the training or right after the training, write a short post about what we did, how we did it, and what the training was on. Basically a how-to along with how it happened.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm doing a training in a post at the same time.
Right.
And if I could, cool. I could do that, then I'm documenting
the training
mm-hmm. for our staff to go back and look at if they wanted to.
Right.
That would be my point of it. But,
I know some stuff we got to talk about.
So we'll see. But, also I think the key talk about stuff that other people aren't talking about.
Right.
I talk about off the wall stuff, mm-hmm. you know, very niche-y.
Well, yeah. Stuff. I mean, nobody thinks calendar is sexy.
Yeah. Come on. And so when you put the right SEO key terms together.
Oh, that's another thing. Your post titles are really like.
I write sentence post titles. So yeah,
you've got everything in there.
When I get hits, I get weird hits.
Well, and the hits are weird because I'm still getting hits off of stuff I wrote like a year ago.
Well, that's because people search for stuff all the time.
And I feel like I should do, I mean, there's a couple posts that I really think I should do because people ask me this all the time, like about our Google migration. I should do a write-up on that because people are asking me, you know, how we did it, why
we should. The thing is everybody's written about Google migration. So if you're looking for numbers,
no,
you're not going to get numbers off that. But if you're looking to just tell the story and to the people that are asking, that'd be perfect.
Well, everybody's written about Google migration, but what have they written about? They've written about moving to Google.
Well, here's the thing, and this came from a gentleman that was at the GTA. His question was, he's like, I really want to know how you do it. How do you migrate? And he asked about four or five people, and all four or five people had different answers.
Right.
And so he started thinking about it. And he's like, okay, my biggest aha I'm taking away from GTA is the fact that there's no one single answer to migrating. It's you got to do what's good, best for you, and you do it.
Yeah, there are different options. But see, that's it. I don't want to talk about the physical how-tos of migrating. I want to talk about why we migrated and what it's been like since we migrated. Because the technical stuff, that's out there.
There's so many different ways. It's almost next to impossible to talk
about. But the questions about, you know, how we made the decision and why we did it, we've kind of talked about that already. But just the incredible weight that has been lifted from me as an IT person not having to deal with Exchange anymore or email in general. I mean, I don't deal with it.
Maybe you can do a guest post for Dana.
That's what I need to – I need to write something about that because that's the part that has been such a powerful.
And that's the part that IT people need to hear that they don't know.
Right.
What you don't know, you don't know. Right.
Well, it is a delicate subject because when you start talking about, hey, let's migrate off of our current Exchange system or current email server, which we have a dedicated administrator for. Now let's migrate to something that doesn't require an administrator anymore because it's so easy to use.
But my question is, and I know where you're going with this, is that person could lose their job.
Yes. But
if somebody is the dedicated Exchange person, don't you think they're probably qualified to do something else as well?
Well, that all depends. But in today's day and age with today's budget,
if you can't do more than one thing, you're...
Well, that's true too. But I think you need to temper the discussion in such a way that it's not just about saving full-time, you know, FTEs. What would that be? Full-time equivalent positions. It's about being able to retask people and possibly retrain them and focus more on instruction and the classroom technology and focus less on the infrastructure that has basically become commoditized.
Well, and okay, and I don't know if I'll be using this term correctly or if this term's out there already, but
probably not.
There's an ed tech reform. There's an education reform movement. I think there's a little bit of an education technology reform movement, but I think that's usually on the teacher slash technology coordinator side.
Well, those are the folks,
or the curriculum side, but
those are the folks that are driving technology in the classroom.
Yes.
And that's traditionally been their role. Something I find very interesting, having come in from the private sector, is this rift between the instructional technology folks and the IT information technology.
Well, and that's where I was going.
Right. I don't understand.
Is there an IT education IT reform movement going on now?
I think as you see more people cross over from the instructional side into the IT side on the leadership side of things, you're going to start to see, and you're starting to see it now, IT is having these discussions. It's already happened in the private sector. IT has had to become much more involved in the business side of the house because IT services, traditional IT services, have turned into commodities that you can outsource or hire get much more cheaply than maintaining it in-house. Education always lags, right? So education over the last couple of years has started to have these conversations where what is IT's role in education? Are we just there to do infrastructure? Infrastructure is really a commodity now too. So I think we're starting to see this transition from IT as infrastructure tech, you know, just technology for technology's sake, and become much more focused on instruction and supporting student learning. Now, traditionally, though, that's been the instructional technology folks' role, and I think those two groups need to kind of come together, and we need to bridge this gap, which is, you know, we should all be working on supporting the learning that's happening in the classroom, right?
Yes, and I think that's where it's going.
And I think that's where it's going, too, and that's really exciting. I just think that you have to kind of frame these conversations in a way that you have to realize that this is a shift for IT. There are a lot of forward-thinking IT people out there who have already made this shift, you know, and are already moving in this direction and are already looking at, you know, like nobody has rolled their own internet for however many years. It's just something you buy and you pay a monthly fee and you get service and support and internet's up or it's down. If it's down, you make a call. No reason email can't be like that now. That's the way our email is now, right? It's on or it's off. If it's off, we make a call.
Yeah.
Right? It's completely hosted, completely serviced off site.
We've made this comment before. Why should we worry about Exchange or our email when Google can worry about it for us?
Yeah.
But
that is a mind shift for IT, right? That's a mind shift. But the discussion that And now that Microsoft has come out with their Office 365 offering, which...
No collaboration.
Sorry,
I had to throw that in there.
It's basically Exchange in the cloud and SharePoint in the cloud, which for a Microsoft shop is probably comforting because they understand
it. It's Office Suite in the cloud, right?
And it's worse than that. It's Office on your desktop with a link to the cloud. But... You know, IT folks who are Microsoft shops understand that. Unfortunately...
Well, Microsoft has built it to be enterprise model.
Well, but... I don't think a school really fits an enterprise model. Classrooms do not fit the enterprise model. Classrooms are places where you need flexibility, you need adaptability, and you need to be able to change, right?
Yes.
Enterprise IT is about... standardization, control, security, all these things that are kind of anti flexibility, creativity, adaptability.
Well, think how many apps you've used and migrated to and from in the last year. Cloud apps.
Oh, we've been trying stuff left and right.
And that's the thing is, enterprise does not let you try.
No, they want to do.
They're not a.
They want to do a project. You know.
Well, it's not a test and fail. It's not a. Well, I don't know if test is the right word, but it's not an experiment.
Evaluation.
I like experiment. It's not experiment and possible fail and start over again model. Which
no, because the costs are high. Usually on the enterprise side, if you're going to look at implementing something new, the costs are very high.
And so that's where small school big tech, that's why we're all about free and cheap and playing with stuff until we can figure out if it works or not for us.
Yeah, although, I don't know, lately we've been looking at stuff that costs money. So
not always.
But, there's a trend with free stuff, though. It goes away. It disappears.
Or it becomes freemium where the good stuff becomes paid for.
Yeah, you can't rely on it. The only thing you can rely on is either you can't even rely on a paid service because that can go away. Really, the only thing you can rely on is something you provide for yourself.
But you know what I found out, though, is no matter what we go to, no matter what we test out, if we find something that we like, and if it does go to the freemium model and we have to pay for that... Andrew's dying over there. If we have to pay, we have to go to the freemium model and we have to do that. We always can find another alternative that's at least as good, if not sometimes even better.
Yeah, no, that's true.
And it might be a little bit of a change in learning how to use it, but it usually is fine for us.
Yeah.
So
I would agree with that. I just think that it's funny that we've been looking at kind of paid options. Primarily because they integrate with Google Apps, right? I mean,
And that's where the marketplace has really helped a lot of web-based apps, and that's why a lot of web-based apps have turned freemium. But if you watch the Google Apps marketplace at all, the most profound features usually are the free apps, and they have some of the best tools. Not always, but
I'm afraid of death by a thousand cuts, in that you know. This vendor wants $3 a user. This one wants $5 a user. This guy wants $8 a user. And pretty soon we're looking at like $30 a user for all these features.
Well, I think those models start to go away after a while. Because that can't work for everybody the whole time.
But you can't serve everything off of ads either. You got to make money somehow.
Well, yeah, but there's different ways around that.
So. I mean, Google has an advantage to providing these services for free because they're building in customers, right? Future customers.
Well, and that's the way these apps should be looking too, but they don't.
Well, because
they see it as riding on Google's coattails and let's make money off of what Google's breadcrumbs.
Yeah, but a Google Apps management app. I mean, they're not building in future customers because really, I'm their customer. I'm an IT guy.
Well, yeah, but I mean, like the apps that go right alongside with Google Apps.
What I would like to see is better discounts for smaller schools because we basically end up paying full price because our numbers aren't there.
We need some, what do you call that? I know GarageBand has it.
Money?
No. Sound effects.
You want to do sound effects now? Wow.
Yeah, no, just kidding.
Maybe further down the line.
Everybody would probably kill us if we started doing some funky sound effects.
Anyway, so there was that. I also wanted to bring up the fact that Q Rockstar is coming up.
Get your signups. If you get them in, hopefully within by the time this comes out, you might be able to get in.
Well, there's a free T-shirt offer for the first 25 to sign up. So,
well, and that's weird because I've heard there's not very many spaces left. They're leaving 100 people in, but then they send out the tweet that says 25.
Look at the signups. They're still. I think a lot of people have kind of.
Said that they're going to go?
Sign up?
Yeah. Well, we're taking eight out of...
I haven't even signed anybody up yet.
We're taking eight teachers out of our basically 20-person staff, so...
I have no doubt there will be 100 people there easy. So I'm just thinking that people are busy right now and it's not a...
Not a priority.
No. So anyway, Q Rockstar's coming up. If you don't know what that is, go check out episode 13 where we were live at last year's Q Rockstar. It's basically 3 days of professional development wrapped around technology in the classroom. It's only $199. So it's probably the best deal in the Central Valley. If you're outside the Central Valley, come out. It's a blast. There's free ice cream. And this, I believe, is the superhero edition, so just a warning, there may be tights involved.
No tights, just capes.
No, I'm not wearing a cape. Capes get you killed when there are engines around.
There will be no engines at Rockstar, so you'll be okay.
So you said
I am not wearing. If you want to wear tights, you go right ahead.
I'm not wearing
tights. I'm going to wear a cape if I've got to wear anything.
So anyway,
or at least a mask.
But it's pretty cool. It's 100 participants, 10 presenters. So there's a low presenter to participant ratio, and it's a take and bake. So every session, you're going to do something that you're going to be able to take back to your classroom the next week, and it's a lot of fun. And I believe most of the presenters this year are all new. I think there's a couple repeats, but it should be a pretty good time.
And the day after, are we going to have?
It's August 2nd through 4th. August 5th is a TEDx event day. So if you've never seen a TEDx event live, which I never have, you can hang out for that fourth day. I'm not sure if there's going to be registration for that one as well. I don't know what's going on with that exactly, but that should be cool. I'm probably going to apply to speak. How cool would it be to be doing a TEDx event, right?
Yeah, no. Not for me.
Mr. GTA?
I don't know if I have enough to say for 20 minutes.
I think it's like 8 to 15 minutes, right?
Oh, I thought they're not like the TEDs, they're 20s. Well, before you die...
I know, I'm coughing.
I think we should wrap this up. Plus, I got to get going home.
Okay.
It's that time of day.
Oh, so, that's right, I got to get home for dinner.
So... I think this is another episode 33 all wrapped up.
Roll some music or something.